Lord Jesus, we just proclaim that this morning, and thank you so much that you're here with us, and what a blessing that is. We're grateful that we can worship in this way together, real time, real people, flesh and blood, living out our faith and exploring our faith and trusting you for more as we take steps forward. Lord, we just commit our time to you. We thank you for each one that's participating online today. We thank you for each one who's here with us in this room. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would meet with us, that you'd speak to us, and that you would lead us forward. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone together said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I hope for all those online, you heard that amen, and you could hear the congregation gathered here singing praise and worship. And if you're hoping that there's going to be more of that, well, there will be. And if you're thinking that for the rest of our time together, it's just going to be me preaching, you're wrong. And so you can all breathe a sigh of relief for that. But we do have a worship service planned that we hope is going to be encouraging and inspiring for all of us as we kind of take steps forward, moving forward in this very interesting season that we've all been in. So welcome here. So glad to see the room quite full, and so glad to have each and every one of you who have joined us online joining us wherever you are. We're grateful for that. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 to 20. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture that we're going to be touching on today for the next few moments. But for the past 5 weeks, we've been working through the book of Revelation. We started this book of Revelation, big book of the Bible, amazing book of the Bible, challenging book of the Bible. But because it's so big, because it's so challenging, for us to kind of tackle it and just kind of plow through, just Sunday after Sunday would have been really, really challenging, not only for those preaching, but for those kind of listening and engaging. And so I had promised that we were going to take some breaks along the way as we work through the book of Revelation, and that's what we're going to do. And beginning today is our first sort of breather that we're going to take in the book of Revelation. And for the next 3 weeks, together with our leadership team, we want to share with you, cast a vision, paint a picture of what we believe God is calling us to in building on a ministry that has been going on within our midst for the last 7 or 8 years or so, and what we believe is kind of the next logical step, or maybe not even logical, but the next God step that he would like us to take in this ministry that we often refer to as the apartment ministry, or as MCC apartment ministry. MCC standing for Mennonite Central Committee and their apartments. And so for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about this next step, painting a picture for where we believe God is calling us to in this ministry in our city. So if you're new with us, it's all brand new. Even if you've been a part of our church family for a while, sometimes this stuff just kind of goes over our heads, and we're not quite sure like what we're talking about when we talk about MCC, or what we're talking about when we're talking about the apartments. And so to give you a little bit of backdrop, whether you're maybe new with us and you don't really have an understanding, or you'd kind of like a refresher, let me just give you a little bit of background. Some years ago, an elderly gentleman named Henry Rempel, whose family had been supported by MCC, Mennonite Central Committee, an organization that's over 100 years old, designed to help those less fortunate in the world with aid, with practical aid, a holistic approach to the gospel. This organization supported many families who were fleeing the Ukraine, southern Russia, some 100 years ago when the Russian Revolution kind of had taken hold in that part of the world. And this gentleman, who's now very elderly, he's in his 90s, Henry Rempel, and not doing well health-wise, he became very wealthy over the course of his lifetime, and he donated a significant part of his wealth to Mennonite Central Committee, this group that had helped his family flee Russia. Part of that wealth included some apartment complexes throughout BC, but specifically in Prince George. These were mostly run-down apartment complexes, which needed a lot of physical renovation. But along with the need for physical renovation and upgrades, there was a lot of social challenges that came with these apartment blocks and the community in which that lived there. There were social challenges, there was drug and crime realities, there was domestic violence, there was food shortage, there was lots of pain and lots of hurt, to put it simply, from people who, like we all are, experience brokenness in different ways. So Westwood Church, we have been partners in ministry with Mennonite Central Community for a long time, probably for the entirety of our church history here in Prince George. And together with MCC, Westwood Church determined to invest time and dollars and people resources into these apartment communities to bring the gospel in a holistic way to the many folks who lived here. So lots has happened over the course of the last 7 or 8 years as people have invested themselves in this community. The apartment complexes themselves have been largely refurbished. They're not complete, but largely refurbished. People began praying for these communities and the people in the communities. ESL classes happen as people come alongside folks who need to learn English as a second language. Bible studies and support groups are taking place even as we speak. Crime has been reduced. The RCMP are very grateful for the shalom that is being experienced in parts of our city that weren't being experienced, you know, some 7, 8 years ago. So if you walk through these communities, even today, you will visibly see a sense of thriving and a sense of hope that was absent even some years ago. So it's amazing when we see tangibly how living out the holistic gospel of Jesus, how transformative it is. Like we can be so grateful. And so, you know, we've renovated buildings. We host, you know, summer barbecues. We lead classes and Bible studies and so forth. And that's a big part of it. But at the heart of this kind of ministry and this landscape, there's people. There's people. There's lots of people who live in these apartment complexes. So to give you even a more kind of refined or specific scope of this ministry, here's a few details. There's 12 apartment complexes scattered or sprinkled throughout our city. In those 12 apartment complexes, there are 773 suites that house over 2,400 residents. And of those 2,400 plus residents, Westwood Church has personal connection by way of ministry in some tangible form to 707 of those residents. And this has been kind of happening over the last 7 to 8 years through things like Bible study groups, Alpha, ESL classes, community barbecues, all that kind of stuff. And one of the leadership lessons that I've embraced over the years of my time in ministry is that facts are our friends. Facts are our friends. When you actually see what is in something that you're kind of, you know, putting your shoulder to the wheel to, when you know what is, it actually helps you to inform what God is doing and how he might be leading you forward in taking next steps. In this particular case, with a very, very tangible ministry that God has entrusted our church family with. The ministry that I've sort of just been describing for the last couple of minutes, it's actually quite unique. I'm not aware of any other church in our denomination in BC that has this kind of unique ministry, largely because of the vision of Pastor Ryan and a group of others who started this some 7-8 years ago, along with somebody who felt compelled to actually give away his wealth in a way that God had blessed him over the years and kind of led his family through all kinds of hardships. So it's absolutely amazing. So specifically, our leadership team has been thinking and dreaming for the last couple of years. We started doing some reading about it pre-COVID, then COVID hit, and so the discussions really kind of were somewhat challenged, but we continued to try to keep it in the forefront, going, how can we keep moving forward in this very, very challenging time? And we've come to a spot where we believe that planting a church within these apartment complexes, where some of our own Westwooders could move in and extend our mission to go and make disciples of all people as Jesus commanded, is the next step that we need to take. So in spite of all of the challenges that COVID has wrought on the church generally, like not just Westwood, but generally in our country and throughout the world, in spite of all the challenges, the ministry that I have just described is one that has absolutely thrived in spite of all of the challenges that we've experienced. So we're going to unpack this, you know, today and over the next 2 Sundays, but we want to begin this vision casting, this painting a picture, by reminding ourselves of the timeless mandate that Jesus gave to each one of us as his disciples of Christ and to the church, the local church, which Westwood Church is one part of the bigger church. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Let's read it together. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely," Jesus said, "I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." If we've been around the life of the church for any length of time, these are not new words. These are familiar words. They're timeless words. They're relevant words to every follower of Jesus and to every church. We are to make disciples of Jesus by inviting other people to embrace not some religion, but to embrace the person of Jesus. The way, the truth, and the life, the song that we were just singing, the person of Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, an exclusive pathway to salvation. We are to invite people to this person, and we are to invite people to obey his teaching and how he lived, we're supposed to live. And then we're to invite them to baptize those who declare that Jesus, this exclusive person, is their way to salvation. And as a mark of their surrendering to Jesus as their Savior, they go through the waters of baptism and they begin a life of discipleship, we say, of following Jesus. And then we're supposed to repeat that. We're to do it over and over and over again. This is the mission of every disciple of Jesus Christ, and it's the mission of Westwood Church. You see, our job, our role, our mission, it's not to produce a worship service. Like, that's been one of the challenges of certainly Western evangelicalism and North American church. But our job is not to produce a worship service that people can come and just enjoy a padded, comfortable seat and say, "Great job, Pastor," or "Awesome music," or "Really hated the music. Your message was kind of off target." No, we were not ever to be about producing a worship service. We weren't about producing a ministry program. We're not about performing weddings and funerals or hosting barbecues. Our mission is to make disciples of Jesus. We utilize many of those other things, maybe a worship service, maybe a community barbecue, maybe a support group or a youth program. But we use those things to support our mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And we do that in the best of times, and we do it in the worst of times. That's our mission. We do it when we can gather like this, and we do it when we're restricted because of a pandemic. We do it when culture is warm to the claims of Jesus Christ, and we do it when culture abhors the name of Jesus. That is our mission, the words of Jesus. Now, when I think about his words and I reflect on my own life, I know that I fall short much of the time. I know that I need to be reminded of these words regularly because it's hard to stay focused. It's hard to stay committed to this one thing. And so I get sidetracked, maybe like you. For me, my sidetracks, they would involve managing an organization, managing a budget, making sure that the budget, the building, and bums and seats are all kind of doing their thing, right? Directing staff, running a ministry program, maybe doing many good things, but things that may take my eyes and my focus and my heart off the main thing, to make disciples of all people. So how do I do that? How do I stay focused? How do we stay focused? How do we keep this timeless mandate of making disciples before us? And when I think about Jesus' words, three words capture me, and I hope that they give some guidance to you and to me as we think about our own lives, as we think about our church family, and as we think about these next steps of making disciples in a context that God seems to be blessing with these apartment complexes. The three words are this: intentional, incarnational, and inclusive. Like, who would have thought that a pastor could come up with three words that all started with I? Usually it's P, S, maybe T, but I. But I kid you not, these were words. I was praying about it, and this is what came: intentional, incarnational, inclusive. Signposts for me in the mission that Jesus has for us. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all people. Now, grammatically, the text reads, as you are going, make disciples. As you are going. Well, going where, Jesus? Going about your ordinary, everyday life. You are to make disciples. That's what Jesus is saying. As you are going about your ordinary, everyday life, make disciples. That's where it begins. See, Jesus was not foremost telling his disciples that they needed to make their way to Canada or the United States or Europe. He was saying that as they went about their ordinary, everyday Middle Eastern lives, they were to make Jesus the center of their life. They were to live out and obey the teachings of Jesus, and they were to invite other people to do the same. That's it. So if you thought that you were off the hook on making disciples, leaving it to the pros, the clergy, the foreign missionaries, it doesn't work that way. It's you and it's me to make disciples as we go about our ordinary, everyday Western Canadian lives. But it requires an intentionality in how we live. An intentionality in how we live, how we engage other people, how we go about our work, how we go about our play, how we go about our family life, our ordinary, everyday lives. Intentionality. You see, being intentional means that we give thought to how we do this with the ordinary Western Canadian life that we've been entrusted. Parents of young kids, If you're with us online today, or you're here in person, I see a lot of little ones here today. Some whom I haven't seen in a little bit, and I have to kind of make the connection. Oh yeah, you've grown a little bit since last time we saw and talked, and you're connected with this parent. Parents of little kids, you have got this huge task before you in making disciples of Jesus with your little ones. Ordinary Western Canadian parenting. Be intentional. Take every opportunity that you have to love them and lead them as Jesus would have you to, because in a moment it's going to be over. Lead by example. Live what Jesus says in your own life. It starts there. Read Bible stories to them. Teach them how to be compassionate and kind and generous. They're going to learn from you. Pray with them. Initiate spiritual conversations with them. And keep doing it all through the years. Even those challenging adolescent years and maybe even young adult years. Don't stop, even as they grow older. I'll always remember our oldest, Adriana. She ran from her bed to ours every single morning at 6:30 a.m. from age 2 right through age 12 every day. Why did she do that? To read missionary biographies with her mom for 30 minutes. 10 years every day, 30 minutes, missionary biographies. Talk about precious times. Talk about spiritual impact on her life. It was totally life-shaping, but there was an intentionality on it, certainly with Leanne. So just the other day, Adriana tells us, Leanne and myself, she says, I really see you as a ministry team together, and you both have had such an impact on my life spiritually over the years. And then she asked us if we would both walk her down the aisle on her wedding day, which is coming June 4th, less than 4 months to go. Well, what a blessing. Then I'm supposed to officiate at it. And I think I'm going to be a bit of a mess. But we're grateful that hers is a story that is bearing fruit. That's not always the outcome. I get that. But let's be intentional in our parenting to make disciples of our little ones. Let's be intentional about how we go about our work in our work environment. Some of you in the university setting, you're doing this amazing job of intentionality as you go about your studies at CNC and UNBC, and you're going about your faith and your schooling with an intentionality about it. Keep doing it. You see, disciple making does not happen any other way other than you and me choosing to take our ordinary, everyday Western Canadian lives and being intentional about it. Yes, we have different contexts. Yes, we have different skill sets and different personalities and different opportunities, but we can be intentional about the things that God has given to us. Disciple-making is also incarnational. And incarnational simply means that our lives are lived out with others. Like being in the flesh with other people. That's what it's about. See, that's what God did with us when he sent Jesus into our world to show us how to have a relationship with him. He became incarnate. He came into our world to be blood and flesh to live among us. That's what John chapter 1 speaks about. In the Message, I think it even talks about how Jesus, the Word, came into our neighborhood to live out this relationship. He walked and he talked with real people. He had people who had all kinds of questions, all kinds of issues, all kinds of challenges. And Jesus did life with them. His life was not buried behind a computer screen. He did not protect himself from the culture wars of his day, but he engaged them. He didn't create a holy huddle, telling his disciples to steer clear of all those who thought differently. Jesus' life
was one where he lived alongside others. And to truly make disciples of Jesus, this is how it must be done. Life with others. You know, one of the positive outcomes of COVID, I must say, on the church has been the use of technology in connecting with other people. Connecting in multiple levels and being able to put content and discipleship tools into the hands of people. And that's good. There's a plus to that. Just this past year, we celebrated the salvations of five individuals who made a commitment through some of our ministries here at Westwood Church, through our online ministry. We know that over 400 unique viewers engage every week online with the ministry of Westwood. We're thankful for that. One of our former elders, Johannes Gita, we had his memorial service here a month ago. We know that over 1,000 individuals from all over North America took part in his memorial service to honor and to thank the Lord for him. We know that God has provided opportunities to minister to people who do not live in Prince George and in our context, and we're grateful for that. But it only goes so far. Whether you want to admit it or not, we all need people in our lives. Real life people living out the gospel of Jesus in practical ways, helping us to do the same as we go about our lives. That's why we encourage life groups. That's why we encourage relational communities, because we believe it's in relationship that we grow. Sometimes you have to try different things and test out different things to see if it's a good fit. One of my best experiences over the years was a group of guys about 10 years younger than myself. Every week we met at 6 a.m. We gathered together to encourage one another, to study God's word, to pray together, to hold each other accountable. We had this mutual friendship that remains to this day. Those friendships grew, they deepened, and while I live here and they live in the Fraser Valley, those friendships last to this day, and I'm forever thankful for them because they've helped me to become more and more like Jesus. To make disciples, you have got to be involved in the lives of other people. And that's going to require intentionality. You need to make time in your life for other people. You need to be prepared to walk through the good times and also the messes of others. You need to learn how to give and to receive. It simply doesn't happen any other way. So as we look to take this ministry initiative that God has given to us some 7-8 years ago, and we look to plant a church in these apartments, it will mean incarnational living, rubbing shoulders and doing life with other people in close proximity. Making disciples doesn't happen any other way. Intentionality, incarnational, and inclusive. Jesus said, as you go about your life, make disciples of all people. Make disciples of all people. Like, underline that in your Bible. All people. Inclusive. You see, to be clear, being inclusive does not mean that one has to embrace or value everything that somebody else does. Not at all. To be inclusive from Jesus' perspective, and all throughout the scriptures, really, is to love all people wherever they are at, and to invite them to follow Jesus, the exclusive way, truth, and life, and to obey his teachings, period. And that's hard, because we tend to gravitate towards people who are kind of like us. And that's not necessarily wrong. There's a strength to that. But as we go about our lives, and as we heed Jesus' mandate, he will bring people into our lives who are very different, who think very different, and live very different than we might, and we are going to be stretched in all kinds of ways, but in the process, we will learn to depend on him, and we can know that he's going to help us because he is the one who has given us this mandate and his power by his Spirit as we go about making disciples. Intentional, incarnational, inclusive. Simple reminders, but so important. So important for you and me in our daily walk, and super important for our church family as we take these next steps in church planting at the MCC apartments, where we're going to have to take these reminders to a whole new level. But that's why we exist as a church. It's our mission. That's why Jesus came. He died, he forgave us our sins, he rose from the dead because he loves the world, all people. He desires that everyone might believe in him and place their faith in him for all their lives. And communion reminds us of this. As you came in this morning, I hope you had the opportunity to take the communion elements that were available from the door. If you didn't, I certainly would just invite you to go to the back and to get one. And there's no harm, no shame, and if you have forgotten, but we want to think about Jesus' words, and we want to think about, in the context of communion, what this mission means for us, how much Jesus loved you and me. If you need a communion element, just raise your hand, and we have people who are at the back here who will come and give it to you. And so we're reminded, right over here, Robin, right up front, right up here, we're reminded of this love that Jesus has for us. He came. He came to die for us. His body was broken. His blood was shed so that our sin would be forgiven, so that we could experience freedom. Not to do whatever we want, but so that we could live wholly and freely for him. So today, we eat and we drink with thanksgiving. We eat and drink with the hope that Jesus is going to come again. We eat and drink with this thought and this memory that until Jesus comes again, the mission that he has given to us is not finished. We keep doing this. We live our ordinary, everyday Western Canadian lives to make disciples of Jesus. So in Matthew 26, verse 26 and following, the words of Jesus with his disciples. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." So until Jesus comes again, we are called to remember what Jesus did for us, the mission, why Jesus came. These elements should remind us of that each day. Yes, we forget, but today let's be reminded once again of this incredible truth that Jesus has left for us. So take a moment just where you are. If Jesus is your Lord, you have committed your life to him, you understand the body that was broken for you, the blood that was shed, and we invite you to come to the Lord's table. Maybe today is the first time that it's made sense to you. Well, if it makes sense, and you've asked Jesus for forgiveness for your sin, and you too want to walk with him, then by all means, I invite you to come to the Lord's table and to eat and drink together. So take a moment and give thanks, and then we'll eat and drink, and I'll lead you in that. Thank you.
small little wafer representing the body of Jesus, which was broken for you and me on the cross. Jesus said, take and eat. My body is broken for you. He took the cup and reminded his disciples that the cup that they were drinking was representing the blood that was going to be shed so that all people could have forgiveness for sins. So let's drink in thanksgiving and remembrance for Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for just your grace and oh, the price that was paid so that we could live free lives, lives to follow you, lives to walk with you, lives to experience victory, and lives to go about this mission that you've called us to. And so even today, we pray that you would empower and embolden us to do the work that you've called us to. We thank you for what you are doing and what you will yet do. And today, may we be encouraged and inspired to where we struggle and where we stumble, to pick ourselves back up, to look to you, and to go about this incredible, timeless job that you've given to each one. And so we look forward to how you're going to lead and direct us. And as we hear from our leaders even now, we pray that we would be inspired in even greater measure. And we thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Feel free to pass your cups and sort of your cup to the folks who are coming to receive them. And I want to invite a couple of our elders forward, and Albert Kohler, Bob Gammer, and Kevin Hoekstra, two of our elders, and then Albert Kohler. And I'd like you to come and join me at the front. Grab a seat wherever you want. And we hope that these next moments will be an encouragement to you as you hear a little more kind of from some of our folks who are kind of in the thick of some of what we've been talking about here today. And so rather than just hear from myself or from maybe some of our pastoral staff, I wanted to kind of hear and talk a little bit with our leaders who are very much a part of what we've been talking about in this ministry in the apartment complexes. So I'm going to start with Kevin. Kevin's one of our elders, and he's been a part of this process for the last couple of years as we've been having these conversations, doing some reading about what does it look like to be a church that's about multiplication. It's about making disciples who make disciples. And so, so Kevin, why don't you kind of start this little conversation off by sharing with us a little bit of what excites you about this particular ministry that's kind of been going on for some years, but we really feel that God is inviting us to that next step.
For sure. All right, so everybody can hear me. I think what really excites me, I mean, it's pretty hard to build on what you've already talked about earlier. Like, it's just so evident of seeing God working within the apartment ministry. He's stirring the hearts of the people in the apartments. He's stirring people within our own congregation to go and serve and to be those hands and feet of Jesus, which is so incredibly encouraging. And I mean, for myself, one particular passage that has always stood out was in 1 James, where it talks about pure and lasting religion in the eyes of God means essentially caring for the orphans and the widows. I mean, in today's context, it's those marginalized people. And it's so encouraging to see Westwood reaching out to those marginalized people of our own city. And we don't have to go overseas or do something. There is mission right here in Prince George, And that is the desire of, I think, of our leadership team and Westwood in general, is to be missional. Because like you said, it's more than the service that we do or the programs that we provide. It's really about that commissioning and that calling that Jesus put to us to make disciples. So it's so exciting to watch this unfold over the last couple of years, and we're very excited to see where God's calling us next, and as long as we're just keep leaning into Him and hopefully obeying that. We're definitely seeing fruit there, and it's so encouraging, and it's fun to watch all levels of Westwood involved. I mean, just this week, the Westwood youth were at the MCC apartments engaging with the youth down there, and that's so exciting to me.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, Kevin. Bob, let's shift it to you, and maybe add to that. You probably have some own thoughts as to what are some of the things that excite you, and after you shared that, we'll talk a little bit about kind of that whole strategic kind of piece. So maybe start with what excites you.
Okay, well, it's something other than COVID.
and yeah, we can applaud that.
Yeah. No, really. It's it's good to be able to get our focus back on track for the people that we are as Jesus followers. And so let's get beyond ourselves, get beyond this pandemic. And so I just think that really is important to kind of put this behind us and remember that, we are called to obey God and we are called to love our neighbor and love one another. And so we need to start right where we are. And, like Kevin has said, the mission field is right here in Prince George. And that's great because, I mean, not everybody can go overseas and not everybody's expected to. We can love those around us and share Jesus with those around us. So that's exciting.
Yeah. So I'm a firm believer that we need to join God where He's already working. I think that is so important for any of us to think about and for any church. Like, we don't always have to kind of manufacture or dream and scheme something out. We have to be waiting and looking for where God is working. God is working in this context that we've been talking about. But then there's also this aspect of being strategic about it. And I think believers and churches have to kind of find that balance between not manufacturing the thing, but being strategic where God is actually at work. How can Westwood be increasingly strategic with where God is already at work?
I think that, right off the bat is God is doing the leading and we will follow. So we are looking for where, like you say, God is leading. And again, like back to my first comment, that mission field is right around us. So we don't have to look very far. And so what have we already got invested into? And the MCC apartments is one of those things. So it just kind of flows naturally, and so I think that's where we just need to be strategic. What can we do more of? If we want to be missional, if we're working in these apartments, we already have that foothold, so let's build on that. We've got resources directed in that way already. We have good relationships with the MCC, obviously, and they want to work with us, so they're supporting us in how we're moving forward. Mm-hmm. So, that just seems to me the smart way to go.
Okay. So let's dream a little bit here on the platform. I mean, you've had an opportunity to think a little bit about this, but who would like to start? Like, if you could imagine what a church plant would look like in these apartment complexes, just share a little bit of that with the body. Albert, Kevin, you want to give it a shot?
Well, thank you. First of all, thank you for getting us up here. I wanted to say, for me, it's an honor to be part of this organization, Mennonite Trust, because we are talking an event or an organization where they are administering millions of dollars. So how can it work? MCC Trust is, I think, helping with that. And yesterday I had a good conversation with them again, and we talked about how they can help from MCC and work together with our church here. first of all, they have to, and they do, make it, I would say, easier to have space available for our church, which is not a given, because landlords normally would like to get as much out of a tenant as possible. And there is, from MCC, there is a facial, the face of God going through whatever they do. I just come back with the very first meeting I attended, and I've been on many meetings and I chaired many organizations, as some of you know. But this was the very first meeting where somebody said, okay, let's start with a prayer. Whoa, that was quite something. And when we had a dinner coming, somebody said, Albert, can you please say grace? So it's something like this sets the tone for what an organization is prepared to do. And with that, I think they are doing quite a bit and working together for many years already with the Westwood Church. And I see more opportunities there, as we have heard here to my right and left. So from that level, from the management level or board level, there is all preparedness and willingness to do what can be done. And the rest, I mean, I've been in Abbotsford a few times now to participate at these meetings. The rest can be done or has to be done from here, but they are prepared to set the framework that's possible, and work together in a very godly way. And I think, yeah, it's amazing what opportunities we see there.
Yeah.
And working together from both ends.
Right.
It really, truly is amazing. And sorry, they are not just saying, okay, as I mentioned, we have the apartments there because we want to make money and utilize that again for other purposes to help on an international and national level. That's one thing, but the tenants, the rents have to be competitive. They are very competitive, and space is being made available that these ministries can take place. That is, I think, something we haven't seen before. So huge opportunities, and I think Westwood has to, we all, Westwooders, have to go for it and maybe start such what they called just yesterday in the meeting, a microchurch, if that's the right expression, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So they are investing heavily in, as you mentioned already, Rob, in apartments that have been neglected over the years. We are talking here over the last few years, so I'm going to say $10 million investment in apartments so that there is a long-term sustainability and a tremendous management which makes sure that that works this way.
Yeah.
So, from that perspective, I feel tremendously honored have been elected and voted on that board, which is the legacy board, which is not the MCC board. And there is this difference there because this Henry Rampel, who has gifted apartments that he bought when he was 60 years old, he started on his own. It's amazing, different cities. So it was not just a gift that MCC, the Mennonite Center Committee thought, okay, we just swallow this. No, this is being handled in a different way under the MCC roof, so to say. So this MCC Legacy Board has a board on its own, and with eight board members, and I feel very honored to be one of them, and we meet in Abbotsford and discuss things and what can be done here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it works.
So you're gonna, as you're gonna hear over the coming weeks, what we're talking about has multiple partners, and Albert has just shared one aspect of those partnerships because he serves on the board of MCC Legacy, which is charged with overseeing the multi-millions of dollars to steward it well. And so we have this really, really significant trust in, given to us to how do we steward these gifts well. So Kevin, I want to hear from you a little bit. If you could just briefly dream a little bit about what a church plant would look like, a micro church, as Albert said, and then we're going to finish up with Bob and talk about how do we lead when fears may, how do we lead by faith and not by fear? Yeah.
Sure. If I get to dream a little. A church plant to me would be exactly that. It's not a satellite of Westwood, but a self-sustaining church where people are gathering in small groups within those apartments. They're gathering as large groups where there's, like how iron sharpens iron, there is a community there sharpening each other. And that church ministry would see, we'd love to see everybody come to Christ. I mean, that's ultimately what we want to see. And so that's really part of the dream. And right now, I think we have expressions of Westwood in some spots, but like you had talked earlier, there's 12 apartment complexes, and I think the dream is to eventually see a church planted in every single one of those, because it's a huge opportunity for advancing Jesus' kingdom here, and I think that would be my dream. So.
Okay. Well, and I'm sure we're going to have opportunities to sharpen the dream as we kind of move forward, and we're going to take it one step at a time. But you can imagine the kinds of potential hurdles or barriers there could be, fears that are going to arise, questions people are going to say, what in the world? What are you guys talking about? Like, how's this going to work? How do we lead by faith?
Well, I would start by saying it's okay to be scared. It's okay to admit that, but not to live in fear, because we trust in the Lord. So living by faith, we go forward. We are intentional, so we plan, we think. It's not just going out there without any organization. We also understand that, there'll be like the parable of the sower, where the seed is thrown on the ground and some of it grows quickly, some of it doesn't grow, some of it's caught up in thorns, but some of it really grows incredibly well. And so, I think that's something that we have to go in expecting. We might have setbacks, we might fail, but we learn from that and we keep going. And so I think that's how we will live by faith, is just to keep trusting and learning and talking with one another, praying with one another, dealing with, and also I think one other thing is setting our expectations at the right level. It will look different than a Westwood service in the apartment ministry. But it will have elements of worship, scripture reading, prayer, sharing together, all of that, that building of a community, that will be there. But it may look a little different. And so let's just make sure that we don't think that it's not working because it doesn't look exactly like we see here. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Can you start to get a sense for what this might look like as we imagine and dream and pray and trust? And so we're gonna kind of move towards the end. I think, Ryan, you're going to come on up in a second. But, Bob, can I get you to pray for us? And then I think it's Ryan, and then we'll move towards the end of our service.
Sure. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can, as a church, be faithful in going into the world and sharing the gospel, the truth about our Lord Jesus Christ, and that we can make disciples right here in Prince George. Lord, bless us in this vision as we move forward faithfully, and help us along as we take these baby steps, and give us faith, and Lord, help us and calm our fears, and just give us the courage that we need to move forward in love, knowing that that's what it's all about, is loving our neighbor so that they can believe too. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.